Now, step back to 2016, and Oliver was just 18 years old, Oliver McGann, when he died in that year. He died after being given an antipsychotic drug in Bristol, despite his medical records warning staff not to prescribe it. He had autism and epilepsy, and an independent investigation found that his death was, I described, as potentially avoidable. Well, since then, his mum, Paula, has campaigned tirelessly for better understanding and training for health and care professionals working with patients with learning disabilities. She's been awarded an OBE, in fact, for her work, and that's also resulted in a special trial named after Oliver, which is now being run in Gloucestershire. More on that anon. The mandatory training has been fully designed by people with a learning disability, autistic people, family carers, people in the front line, if you like, working within disability and autism services. Oliver's mum, Paula, joins me now. Hello, good morning to you, Paula.
Good morning, Anna.
It's lovely to have you on the programme. Thank you for joining us. Tell me a little bit about Oliver. What was he like?
Oh, my goodness. Oliver was he was one of those people that lit up a room when he walked in. There was something about Oliver that was just, there was something just different. He was gregarious, full of life, full of fun, very sporty. He was actually in training in South Gloucestershire to be a Paralympian. He played for England FA development football squads. He was a school prefect. He loved life and life absolutely loved him. He was doing so well and we adored him. We loved him dearly.
He sounds a smasher. He also lived with autism and epilepsy. How much did that affect his life day to day then?
In actual fact, for Oliver, his was almost hidden, so it wasn't always obvious, but he did suffer with anxiety. So different situations, exams, for example, school exams, would cause Oliver to be stressed, which would have an impact on his seizures. He always strove to be better than what he could actually be. So when he was playing football, you know, he could score 3 goals. But for him, the anxiety again, he would feel he'd never done his best. So that for him, that's how his autism affected him. Anxiety was a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So in his medical records, there was information put there, obviously, so that medical experts could see, staff, if they ever came to it, could see. This was about not prescribing any antipsychotic drugs. Is that right?
Absolutely, Anna. Let me explain. Oliver, as a result of meningitis as a newborn baby, had an infarction, so a stroke, which left him with mild cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and then, of course, his autism and mild intellectual disability. Now, as a result, he had to go into hospital quite a lot with his seizures. So during those seizures, he always remained fully conscious. And of course, quite rightly, they caused him to be anxious and scared, the same as anybody else. Mm. And due to diagnostic overshadowing and lack of understanding, Oliver was prescribed antipsychotic medications, even though he was not mentally ill or psychotic. And he reacted very, very badly to them, unbelievably badly. And as a consequence, other doctors had written that Oliver was intolerant to all forms of antipsychotic medications. And Oliver himself was very aware of this and made that quite clear. And it was, as you've just said, Anna, it was documented all over his medical records.
Yet this still happened. Somehow this still happened and he passed away.
Yeah, so Oliver went into, he'd been in a children's hospital and obviously these things had happened to Oliver as a result of him having labels attached to his being. Then he went to an adult hospital having seizures. We had supporting letters that we presented and showed the doctors that he was not to be prescribed these medications. It was written like you've just said. Oliver legally had made an advance verbal decision, and yet he was still given this medication, which caused his brain to swell so badly. We were told it was bulging up the base of his skull, and Oliver died.
Do you believe then that it was, I don't know how to describe it, not necessarily ignore, but it was, the decision was overridden from what the record said because of his learning disabilities? I mean, what do you perceive it to be?
Anna, absolutely. Oliver is a statistic. We know, people who may be aware of the Learning Disability Mortality Review, which has revealed there are well over 1,200 preventable deaths in learning disabled people alone every single year. And it's due to diagnostic overshadowing, labels attached to beings, and clinicians not seeing the diagnosis or the label before actually looking at that person, as an equal, as a human being. There is no doubt in our mind that Oliver died as a result of those labels attached to his being.
Well, you have been tireless, frankly, in your determination to campaign and to make sure that this, not on your watch, you know, ever happens again. You've been awarded an OBE for your work, and it has resulted in this special trial named after Oliver, which is now being run in Gloucestershire, and we'll hear more about it in a moment. And the idea is it's mandatory training and is designed to help those who are working in the front line with people with learning disabilities or somebody with autism, their carers, people working in that part of the sector, to do what? What's the key thing that you hope this changes?
Well, what this is, so ultimately it's to save lives. Now, you know, this is actually Oliver's campaign and Oliver's work and Oliver's training is not about blame or pointing fingers. In actual fact, it's about patient safety. But it's also about safeguarding our clinicians and our social care workers. You know, it's wrong that they are not given the skills and expertise in understanding our autistic communities, our learning disabled communities. So it's about giving them the skills to be able to support people like Oliver. You know, the reason Oliver's training is mandatory is purely because during Oliver's inquest, we heard about the NICE guidelines and this guideline and that guideline. And the words that were said were, well, they're just guidelines. So it's incredibly important that Oliver's training is mandated. But what is more important, Anna, is actually, you know, I'm not autistic, and I dare say you're not either. How can we learn about autism or learning disability? We can only ever learn these things from people who have autism, from those who actually have a learning disability. We need to hear their voices. Not our voices, we're not the professionals. They know themselves far better than everybody else. And that's what's different about the Oliver McGowan mandatory training. For the first time, we are now having our autistic communities, our learning disabled communities leading this training. They are developing, designing, and they are showing the professionals how to enable them to access the best health and social care possible. And that's what's different.
Paula, stay there if you will. We're going to speak to some of those involved in the trial. And as you say, like Hayden and Tim. Hayden has a mild learning disability and autism. Tim has Down syndrome, and they are experts by experience. So they are very key to this and are talking about their own experiencing and giving advice to the team. We'll also be hearing from clinical psychologist Kate as well. More to come. Dua Lipa and Break My Heart. We're talking today about Oliver. Remember his name, Oliver McGowan. He was just 18, was Oliver, when he passed away in 2016. This was after being given an antipsychotic drug in hospital in Bristol, despite his medical records warning staff not to prescribe it. Now, Oliver had autism and epilepsy, and very much the feeling of his mum, Paula, is that he, although he had that all over his notes, that it was kind of ignored, it was overridden because, she says, of his learning disabilities. And she felt absolutely convinced that she wanted to campaign to change that. And an independent investigation found that Oliver's death was potentially avoidable. She's got an OBE now, has Paula, for her campaigning, for the work that she did to give better understanding and better training for health and care professionals working with patients with learning disabilities. And a special trial named after Oliver is now being run in Gloucestershire. It's mandatory training designed so that people working with someone with a learning disability or someone who's autistic or their carers or can actually recognise, you know, that they know what they are talking about, and to respect and recognise, you know, and not to override things that could potentially be life-threatening in some instances. And we've just heard there from Oliver's mum, Paula. One of the key things that Paula said about was to actually have people with learning disability, or as we describe, experts by experience, as a key part of that training. And so Hayden is part of that, Hayden Price, who has a mild learning disability and autism, and also Tim Heaven, great name, Tim, who has Down syndrome. Hello to you both. Hi, Hayden first. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, nice to speak to you. So, what have you been telling people in this training, Hayden, from your perspective? What have you been telling them about what people should and shouldn't do?
Well, we've been having development, content development meetings right from the word go to try and say what we want to happen in our training. And I've just given, and when we've been talking, things I've popped in my head, and I've said like my experience on what we've been talking about, and giving my point of view and what I think on things.
And how important is it that people listen to you like this?
It's very important, because we don't want the same mistakes that happened to Oliver to happen again to anybody else. It shouldn't have happened in the first place, and I hope it never happens again. So it's very important that people listen to us.
And they are listening, and so that is quite a key thing that you've been involved with here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Tim, hello. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi, Tim. How about you then? What have you been telling the people then during the training?
We are having Oliver McGowan webinars, and we've been all the experts by experience. They are doing all the webinars, including myself, and we are getting different professional people trying to get them to talk, to listen. And what is really important is to have to share our lived experience with them, as well as a better understanding about people with complex needs, all disabilities, and it is, as Hayden said, it is really important to get all the key facts and all the messages across. And I know Hayden has said it already, but it is really important, and it is crucial that this will not happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tim. Let's bring in clinical psychologist Kate Alley now then, as part of the project team and running the trial in the county. Hello, good morning to you, Kate.
Good morning.
So it's quite, I think, overwhelming to hear Paula speaking about her experience and losing Oliver, and also from Hayden, from Tim, you know, people who are experts by experience. There are a lot of big things to learn here. I wonder how it feels to be part of this trial.
It can be very emotional at times, certainly in the room when we're delivering the training. Paula made a fantastic video to be part of the training, and there are often tears in the room as people watch that training. But then as we go through the day, and the experts by experience and the family carers involved in the training also share their stories, there's a lot of laughter too. So it can be a sort of an emotional roller coaster of highs and lows. but really powerful, especially Paula's content and the stuff that the experts bring to the day. They're there co-facilitating, running the day, answering questions, and doing a brilliant job of it.
Yeah, and the concern is, obviously the key concern for Paula is that she feels, you know, that a lot of times it seems that people with learning disabilities, they're not listened to or spoken to directly, and perhaps things that are written down, maybe the assumption is, oh, well, you know, I can override that. Is that something that has... Is that something you've been aware of in the past, or is this a very unique case, would you say?
No, not unique at all. I think it is often the case, and we do, certainly through the training, we use the mantra ask, listen, do, which is something that we really kind of push in terms of getting people to really ask the person in front of them and their support network, their carers, what's important to you, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, really kind of ask those questions and then genuinely listen to the answers and then act upon them. So we're really trying, one of the main messages I think we're trying to get through in our training, we recognize that we can't cover everything in detail about autism and learning disabilities and all of the other kind of things that might be in there. So our main message is there's a person here, there's an individual here, and you need to tailor everything you do to meet the needs of this individual. You need to ask those questions and listen to those answers and really understand what's important to them.
Do you believe this will change things, the training that's now happening in Gloucestershire and the trial, the Oliver trial?
I certainly hope so. Yes, I think it will. And I think we're trying to get the message out to as many people as we can to come along on the training. So it will be mandatory for everybody working in health and social care. But we're also quite keen to get people from education, maybe, or from some other fields. We've invited the representatives from the emergency services and lots of different sectors to try and get a really good feel for how the training is landing and get feedback so we can build on it. And as part of the national trial, help to sort of shape this training so that it meets the needs of all of the different people involved in supporting autistic people and people with learning disabilities, obviously with the ultimate aim of making that care and support better.
Yeah. Paula, how do you feel hearing all this and hearing from Hayden, from Tim, from Kate about, you know, the things that you were so passionate about getting happening that are happening?
Well, for me, it's positive because obviously, you know, we all need to work collaboratively. We need to work in partnership. But Anna, if you would allow me just quickly to tell you exactly what Oliver's training will cover. And it's about understanding exactly what is a learning disability and also what exactly is autism and the nuances around that. It's about how they affect the individual person. It's also about understanding reasonable adjustments. Now, reasonable adjustments are actually the law. Every person in the public sector must make reasonable adjustments for autistic and learning disabled people. It's their right. It's about self-reflection from clinicians. So I want our clinicians, and this will be included, social care workers, to self-reflect. You know, we talk about othering and we always put the blame on the autistic person or on the learning disabled person. But in actual fact, we need our clinicians to self-reflect and look at themselves and say, well, what did I do? How did I impact that person? Did I do something wrong? Was the environment impacting? So we need to be looking at biases and prejudices and our own individual biases like that. We need to be looking at diagnostic overshadowing. And finally, we need to be looking at the laws. Now, you know, the law in this land is there to protect all of us. But for some reason, it doesn't seem to apply for those who have labels attached to them, autistic people and learning disabled people. So we have the Autism Act, the Equalities Act, the Mental Capacity Act, the Mental Health Act. And yet, when these laws are broken, not one person is ever held accountable for it. You will find that actually nobody is ever brought to a court of law. And, you know, again, we have to look at equalities. Why is that? Why are the lives of learning disabled people and autistic people not valued in this country? So this is what Oliver's training is about. It's about raising that awareness, but it's also making sure our public are also standing up and saying, actually, you know, this is not right. This is not acceptable. And we need to change a culture that does not accept diverse communities.
Paula McGowan OBE, thank you very much for speaking to me today about your son Oliver, and thank you to Kate and to Hayden and to Tim being part of that conversation today. And that trial then, named after Oliver, is currently running in Gloucestershire, giving mandatory training to staff in all areas there to learn to better understand people's needs, Paula argues. An investigation into Oliver's death is still ongoing. In a statement from Avon and Somerset Police, they say our investigation into the death of Oliver McGowan in 2016 continues, including interviews with a number of individuals as we seek to establish the circumstances around Oliver's death before seeking advice from the Crown Prosecution Service. No one has been arrested.